All right, so you're ready to like journey down the yellow brick road, but with a twist.
Ooh, a twist, huh?
Yeah, because today we are deep diving into Gregory Maguire's Wicked.
Wicked.
It's definitely not your grandma's Wizard of Oz, I'll tell you that.
No, not at all. This is the story you thought you knew, but from a totally unexpected perspective. Imagine finding out the Wicked Witch of the West, wasn't always wicked.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We're working with excerpts from the book itself. And Maguire, he really paints a fascinating picture of Elphaba's life, long before Dorothy shows up with her little dog, too.
Right. Yeah, what's so captivating about Wicked is how it makes you rethink everything you start to see that maybe, just maybe, the so-called villain is actually a product of the world she lives in.
Yeah, and what a world it is. I mean, Elphaba's birth scene alone just had me hooked. A baby born with green skin, sharp teeth.
Yeah.
Not exactly your average newborn.
Right. It's a striking image, and it immediately sets Elphaba apart. It makes you think about how society treats those who are diff those who don't fit the mold.
Right. And her family's reaction is so telling. Her father, Frex, this devout minister, he sees her as like a sign of the devil. Can you even imagine
Yeah.
your own father like thinking that about you?
It speaks volumes about the prejudice and fear she faces from the very beginning. And her mother, Milena, while she's more accepting, she still seems to struggle to connect with her.
Yeah, it's almost heartbreaking. You can feel this like underlying tension within the family, this unspoken question of whether they can truly love a child who is so different.
Different, yeah. And that sense of otherness follows Elphaba throughout her childhood. There's a scene where she's playing with other children in rush margins, and it's clear she doesn't quite fit in.
And she has her first encounter with the clock of the time dragon there, right? This mysterious clock that almost seems to be counting down to something, significant and kind of gives me chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's definitely a moment that foreshadows the strange path her life will take. And then there's the story about her first word, horrors.
I know. I was floored when I read that. Imagine a baby's first word being horrors. It's not exactly mama or dada,
Yeah, exactly. And it's uttered after hearing a tale of the cruelty and injustice happening in Quaddling Country. It's like Maguire is hinting at Elphaba's inherent sensitivity to the darkness in the world, even at such a young age.
Right, it's almost as if she's destined to confront those horrors head on. Which brings us to Shiz University, where things really start to get interesting.
Shiz University, it's like Oz's melting pot. It's a place where students from all walks of life and all sorts of species come together. And it's here that Elphaba meets Glinda, who will eventually become,
I mean, Glinda the Good Witch.
Yeah.
Talk about an odd couple. It's
Yeah.
hard to imagine two more different personalities finding common ground.
Yeah. It's an unlikely friendship, to say the least. But as the story unfolds, you start to see the deeper connection between them, their shared curiosity, their willingness to question the world around them.
Oh, I loved that. Here's Elphaba, this green-skinned outcast, and Glinda, the popular bubbly blonde. And somehow they form this bond that just defies all expectations.
Yeah, and their relationship really challenges your assumptions about who can be friends, who can understand each other. It shows that sometimes the greatest connections are forged between the most unlikely pairs.
And it's at Shiz that Elphaba's intellectual prowess really shines. She's not afraid to challenge authority, like when she confronts Madame Morrible, the headmistress, about some questionable poetry circulating around campus.
Ah, yes, the anti-animal poetry. It's a subtle but powerful way that Maguire introduces the political undercurrents running through Oz, the oppression, the discrimination, the simmering tension that's just waiting to erupt.
You start to realize that Oz isn't all sunshine and lollipops. There's a darker side to this magical land, a side that Elphaba can't ignore.
And it's through Elphaba's eyes that we start to see the cracks in the wizard's seemingly benevolent regime.
And her reaction to all of this is so fascinating. You can almost feel her idealism being chipped away as she witnesses the hypocrisy and corruption around her.
Yeah. It's during this time that she meets Fiyero, an Arjiki prince, who, shall we say, stirs up some very complicated feelings in Elphaba.
Ooh, Fiyero. Their connection is electric, almost dangerous even. It's like they're both searching for something more, something real in a world that feels increasingly artificial.
And the relationship challenges the rigid social structures of Oz, the preconceived notions of who should be with whom. It's a reminder that love and attraction don't always follow the rules.
And it's this defiance, this willingness to question everything that ultimately leads Elphaba down a path that will change Oz forever. It's the beginning of her transformation into the Wicked Witch. But as we delve deeper into the book, you start to wonder if that label is really accurate.
That's the brilliance of Maguire's storytelling. He forces you to confront your own biases, your own preconceived notions about good and evil. He makes you question whether wickedness is truly inherent or if it's a label imposed by those in power.
It's like he's saying, don't judge a book by its cover or a witch by her pointed hat. There's so much more to Elphaba's story than meets the eye. And I, for one, can't wait to see where this twisted yellow brick road leads us next.
Well, I can assure you the journey is just beginning. And as we delve further into Wicked, you'll discover that the truth is often stranger and far more fascinating than fiction.
Ooh, stay tuned, folks, because this is just the tip of the melting iceberg.
You know, it's fascinating how Maguire uses these like small details, like the Elphaba's first word, to hint at like the much larger themes he's exploring. It's like he's planting these seeds that will blossom later in the story.
Totally. It makes you want to go back and reread passages, you know, knowing what you know now about Elphaba's journey.
Exactly. And as Elphaba grows up, that sense of injustice she seems to be born with it only intensifies. She's acutely aware of the suffering around her, especially the plight of the animals.
Right. And that compassion for the animals becomes like a driving force for her. You can tell it's not just some, you know, abstract concept for her. It's deeply personal.
Absolutely. And it sets her apart from many of the other characters who seem content to accept the status quo, even if it means turning a blind eye to the suffering of others.
You know, it's interesting because even though Wicked is set in this fantastical world with witches and talking animals, It really makes you think about our own world and the injustices we see every day.
Yeah, that's the mark of a truly great story, I think. It can transport you to another place, another time, but it also reflects back on your own reality, making you question things you might have taken for granted.
And Maguire doesn't shy away from showing the ugliness of prejudice. Even at Shiz University, a place that's supposed to be this bastion of learning and acceptance, Elphaba faces discrimination.
Yeah, it's not just about her green skin anymore. People judge her for her intelligence, her unconventional views, her willingness to challenge the way things are. It's like she's being punished for thinking differently.
I mean, think about that scene with the Vinkus boy and the animated antlers. It's disturbing on so many levels. But it also raises questions about the ethics of magic, the potential for it to be used for harm.
It's a chilling reminder that power in any form can be corrupted. And it makes you wonder who gets to decide what's ethical, what's acceptable, what's good, and what's wicked.
Right. It's like Maguire is deliberately blurring the lines between those categories, forcing us to confront the complexities of morality.
Right. And as Elphaba becomes more aware of the political machinations at play in Oz, her disillusionment grows.
Especially with figures of authority like Madame Morrible, who turns out to be not quite as benevolent as she initially seemed.
Oh, and then of course there's the wizard himself. Talk about a shattered illusion.
Seriously. He's this charismatic leader, the supposed source of wisdom and justice. But as the story unfolds, you see the manipulation, the hunger for power, the willingness to exploit others to maintain control.
Yeah, it's a stark contrast to the image of the kindly wizard from the classic Wizard of Oz story. It makes you wonder how many leaders throughout history have hidden their true intentions behind a veil of benevolence.
Oh, it's a sobering thought, isn't it? And it makes Elphaba's rebellion all the more understandable.
Absolutely. She sees the cracks in the system, the hypocrisy, the injustice, and she refuses to stay silent.
And let's not forget her relationship with Fiero. That's a whole other layer of complexity.
Fiero, the charismatic Arjiki prince who captures Elphaba's heart and stirs up a whole lot of trouble.
Their connection is intense, passionate, and totally forbidden. It's like they're both drawn to each other's rebellious spirit, their shared desire for something more than what their society offers.
And their romance throws a wrench into the wizard's carefully constructed social hierarchy. It's a reminder that love and desire can be powerful forces for change, even in the most oppressive environments.
And it's through Fiero that Elphaba starts to see that she's not alone in her fight, that there are others who are willing to stand up against injustice, even if it means risking everything.
And their relationship forces Elphaba to make some difficult choices, choices that will have far-reaching consequences.
You can really feel the stakes rising as the story progresses. And then, of course, there's the looming presence of Dorothy. We know she's coming, and we know her arrival will change everything.
But what's so intriguing about Maguire's approach is that he keeps you guessing. He doesn't reveal all the cards at once. He lets the story unfold slowly, layer by layer, until you're completely engrossed in Elphaba's world.
You're constantly wondering, what's going to happen next? How will Elphaba react? What choices will she make? And just when you think you have it figured out, Maguire throws in a twist that completely upends your expectations.
It's the kind of book that keeps you on the edge of your seat, even if you think you know how the story ends.
You know, one thing that really struck me is how McGuire uses color symbolism throughout the book. Elphaba's green skin, obviously, is a central motif, but there are all these other instances where color plays a significant role.
Yeah, it's such a subtle but effective technique, like the way he describes the Emerald City, this dazzling, glittering metropolis that, beneath the surface, is full of darkness and corruption.
Or the contrast between Glinda's shimmering white gowns and Elphaba's more earthy, darker attire.
It's like he's using color to highlight the complexities of the characters, the duality of good and evil, the blurred lines between appearance and reality.
And then there's that recurring image of the clock of the time dragon always ticking away in the background, reminding us that time is running out, that fate is closing in.
It's a constant reminder that even in a magical world, there are limits, there are consequences, and there's no escaping the passage of time.
All of these elements come together to create such a rich, layered story. It's so much more than just a reimagining of The Wizard of Oz. It's a commentary on power, on prejudice, on the choices we make and the paths we forge for ourselves.
And it stays with you long after you finish reading it. It makes you think about the world in a new way, question your own assumptions, and maybe even see a little bit of Elphaba in yourself.
I think that's why Wicked has resonated with so many readers. It's a story that speaks to our own struggles, our own desires for acceptance and understanding. And it reminds us that even those who are labeled as wicked can be complex, sympathetic, and even heroic in their own way.
Exactly. It's a story that challenges us to look beyond the surface, to question the narratives we've been told, and to see the world through the eyes of those who are often marginalized and misunderstood.
And as we head into the final part of our deep dive, curious to hear your thoughts. What stood out to you so far? What are you most eager to explore as we delve further into Elphaba's journey and the ultimate confrontation with Dorothy?
It's funny, right? Like, we grow up with all these, like, fairy tales, these simple stories of good versus evil, and we never even question them. But then a book like Wicked comes along, and it flips everything on its head.
Totally. It's like McGuire is holding up a mirror to all those classic narratives, and he's asking us, are things really as black and white as they seem?
And the answer, of course, is no. Especially when you consider the role of the media in shaping public perception.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
McGuire, he doesn't like explicitly address the concept of, you know, fake news or anything like that. But he definitely touches on the idea that history is written by the victors and that those in power, they often control the narrative. It makes you think about how Elphaba is portrayed in like the traditional Wizard of Oz story, right?
Yeah.
She's the villain.
Yeah.
The one who needs to be vanquished. But in McGuire's telling, she's so much more than that.
Exactly. We see her compassion, her intelligence, her struggles, her deep-seated desire to make the world a better place. And suddenly that simple label of wicked, it doesn't fit anymore.
No, it doesn't. And it makes you wonder how many other, like, wicked figures throughout history might have been misrepresented. Their stories, you know, twisted to fit a particular agenda.
It's a sobering thought, isn't it? It really speaks to the power of perspective. Like, who's telling the story? Whose voice are we hearing? And whose voices are being silenced?
McGuire does an incredible job of giving Elphaba a voice,
right,
allowing her to tell her own story, you know, on her own terms. And it's a story that's both heartbreaking and empowering.
Absolutely. We see her face incredible challenges, betrayal, loss. But she never gives up on her ideals. She never stops fighting for what she believes in, even when it seems like the whole world is against her.
And there are moments of genuine beauty and tenderness amidst all the darkness. Her relationship with Fiero, for example, it's a testament to the enduring power of love, even in the face of adversity.
Oh, their connection is so intense, so passionate. It's a reminder that even in the most oppressive environments, love can blossom and it can be a source of strength and resistance.
And their relationship forces Elphaba to confront some really tough questions about who she is and what she's willing to sacrifice for the people she loves.
And ultimately, those choices, they define her. They shape her into the woman she becomes, the woman the world will come to know as the Wicked Witch of the West. But as we've seen, that label is far too simplistic.
It is. It's like trying to, I don't know, fit an entire ocean into a teacup.
Mm-hmm.
Elphaba is complex, contradictory, capable of both great love and great anger, deep compassion and fierce determination.
And in a way, her story is a reflection of the human condition itself. We all have the potential for both good and evil within us. It's the choices we make, the paths we choose, that determine who we ultimately become.
Wicked is a powerful reminder that things are rarely as simple as they seem. It challenges us to question the narratives we've been given, to empathize with those who are different, and to recognize the humanity in even the most unlikely of characters.
And it leaves you with a sense of hope, a belief that even in the face of overwhelming darkness, there's always the possibility for change, for redemption, for a better future.
So what does this all mean? Why should you, the listener, care about the story of a green-skinned witch in a land far, far away?
Because Wicked is more than just a fantasy novel. It's a reflection of ourselves, of our own world, of the struggles we face, and the choices we make. It's a story that can stay with you long after you finish the last page, prompting you to question your assumptions, challenge the status quo, and maybe even embrace a little bit of your own wickedness.
Because sometimes it's the so-called wicked ones who are fighting the hardest for a more just and compassionate world.
And that's a message worth hearing no matter what side of the yellow brick road you're on.
We hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and your desire to explore the world of Wicked for yourself. Trust us, it's a journey worth taking.
Until next time, keep diving deep and questioning everything.